School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. Now, I know you weren't expecting to hear my voice today, as this is actually one of Erin's episodes, but as we know, she is working through her PhD program, and honestly, we gave her a little time off so she could study. But today we brought in a special guest host, someone who's going to lead the interview today, and I'm going to sit back, take notes, and listen, and I'm excited for this person to make their podcast host debut on School PR Happy Hour. Today we have an interview with Melissa Robinette and Ashley Michelle Thublin talking about the impact that you can make wherever you are in your career. No matter if you're a rookie, if you're a veteran, or if you're somewhere in between, you can make an impact in school PR. And they will be interviewed today by today's guest host, Julie Thanum, APR. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thanks for being here.
Hello, this is Dr. Jill from Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, reporting, and archiving easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact Jill at classintercom.com or visit classintercom.com.
Hi, I'm Julie Thanum, and I'm a senior strategist at CISO Communications and past president of INSPRA and past president of TSPRA, and I am guest hosting today on School PR Happy Hour. This is my first time to guest host. I've actually been on the show a couple of times, but this is a different seat to sit in, and so I'm happy to be here today, trying to do my best to stand in for a regular host, but I'm here today with two of my INSPRA colleagues. I'm really excited to get this conversation going. So we have Melissa Robinette and Ashley Michelle Thublin with us today. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Good to see you, Julie.
It's so good to hear your voices, and I'm so excited to be doing this. When Justin Deering asked me to guest host, I got a little nervous and a little excited all together, but I never tire of listening to my INSPRA pals, and really excited you guys are here today, so thank you for your time.
Well, yeah, it's an honor.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be talking a little bit today about a session that you guys presented back in Chicago in 2022 at the INSPRA conference, and it drew a lot of attention, and a lot of people have asked some questions, and I think Justin heard from some of the listeners that it would be a good topic for us to discuss today. That session was hitting your school PR sweet spot, max out your mid-career impact, and it was just talking about how to have an impact in your job at all levels, wherever you are in your profession. Basically, lead from where you are, and so I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to quickly tell us where you currently work and just a little bit about your districts and anything you want us to know about yourselves.
Sure. So I am in Spartanburg District 5 Schools, which is the upstate of South Carolina. If anybody listening is familiar with South Carolina, we're just north of Greenville. So I have been here and in school PR for going on 10 years. I'll actually celebrate my 10th year in May. I transitioned, like so many of us school PR folks do, from the news industry back in 2013. So I spent 14 years as a news reporter and anchor, but my mom was a longtime educator, and so when it came time for me to look outside the news world, it was kind of a natural fit to go into PR and then specifically into education.
Very good. And do you serve on the superintendent's cabinet? Tell us a little bit about how
you yes.
the leadership.
Yeah, so I'm the director of public relations for Spartanburg 5, and I am still a one-person shop. I'm hopeful that that will change here in the next little bit, you know, how budget challenges are. But yes, I do thankfully sit on the superintendent's cabinet. And as we spoke in this presentation, actually, that we're going to talk about, that's really key in terms of having that seat at the table. So I have found that very helpful in my role here.
Okay, Ashley, Michelle, quickly tell us a little bit about where you currently work and a little bit about your district.
Yeah, so I currently serve as Dublin City Schools Director of Strategic and Crisis Communications. And Dublin City Schools is located in Dublin, Georgia, which is south, it's in South Georgia between Macon and Savannah, for those of y'all that are from the great old state of Georgia. We are really fortunate. We have 5 schools as well as 2 all-day programs. We have an all-day gifted academy as well as a college and career academy. And something a little bit different about the state of Georgia is for our public schools, we actually have charter school districts, and Dublin actually falls as one of our charter school districts. There's about 60 public school districts that are charter school districts, and we are one of them. We have about 2,400 kiddos, pre-K through 12th grade, and about 94% of our students are currently students of color, and 100% of our students receive free or reduced lunch. And so, you know, despite what, you know, our students may be experiencing at home, one thing I'm really, really, really proud of is our graduation rate, because our kiddos are graduating at phenomenal rates. Our graduation rate for the class of 2022 was 95.5%, and for all our alternative school even, which was well above the state average at about 93%. So definitely have a lot to be proud of in our tiny but mighty school district.
Love it. Okay, and tell me a little bit about your role on the leadership team. Do you report directly to a superintendent on the leadership cabinet?
I do, yes. I report directly to our superintendent. We are fortunate in Dublin. We actually do have 2 folks that are on the communications team. So again, I'm the director of strategic and crisis communications, and then we have somebody that does sports information and marketing. So we work hand in hand, and we both actually report to our super.
Okay. And think back to when you guys first started in school PR. You know, obviously you're in leadership roles now. And in your career, when you were first getting started, what are some of the things that you think helped you be successful? Or what advice would you give someone just starting out?
Sure. Well, I'll start. I will admit that I was probably pretty naive to what all goes into school PR when I got in. You know, coming from the news industry, I kind of naively probably thought that, oh, this is going to be, you know, just me pitching media stories to my media friends and getting coverage for the school district. And we all know in reality, or at least I know in my job, that's probably just a fraction of what I do, and sometimes in the lower percentage range of what I do. So I think, and you know, when Ashley Michelle, and I do want to give a shout out to Anissa Sullivan Jimenez, who's not able to join us today, but when we presented this for INSPRO, it was the 3 of us. And when we started talking about potential sessions, you know, I think that that idea kind of resonated with all of us in terms of that what we looked at in the early days of our careers in school PR was so different than what we now know is so much a part of it in terms of the strategic part of our role. So I was a little bit naive. I'll let Ashley Michelle talk to how she felt in the early days of her career.
So funny enough for me, I started my career in school public relations about 2 months after I graduated from college. And I am right there with you. I like to say I didn't know what I didn't know, especially when I started off. It was a lot of, like, for me, establishing social media sites. I did a lot of videos. I made graphics. I cleaned up our website. It was very much tactic oriented. And really what kind of got me, you know, kickstarted on what actual school public relations is I was about a year into my role, and my superintendent came to me and said, hey, have you heard about the Georgia School Public Relations Association? There's a group of people that do a job like you. And I had no idea. I thought I was just, you know, kind of doing my own thing. And so that was my first kind of glimpse of what school communications could be. And I remember sitting at my very first GSPRA, and what kind of was like the light bulb, and I've used it throughout my entire career was they were talking about crisis communications. And again, this is 10 years ago. They gave us all jump drives with people that had pre-drafted scripts. And I remember coming back from that conference and telling my superintendent, like, did you know that I'm supposed to be able to do more than just write on Facebook? And he said, no, I didn't know, because they never had social media. They never had a communications director before. And at that time, it was just like, oh, I guess you should be the social media girl. So just really establishing like that I can do more and what the role can be. It's not just, you know, posting something. As we all know, there's a lot more to our role and what we, you know, should be able to utilize for our leadership than just posting a video or, you know, taking some pictures on social media. So really elevating what the role could be, I think, for me was huge.
You guys both hit on something that kind of struck me when I started out, and it was, you guys are both at right out about a decade, right?
In right.
PR. Yeah. And I know Anissa is about 15 years in. So I'm on year like 33. And when I first went to my first position, they didn't even know what to do with me. So I know, Ashley, Michelle, you said your district, it was their first position or someone in the position. Melissa, were you following somebody or were you new and kind of paving the way for this new role?
I was following someone, and I will say, and I think I feel comfortable in saying this because that person has been very open and honest with me and saying I had no business being the PR director. He was actually our athletic director, our district athletic director at the same time, and they just kind of stuck him all. Oh, you can also handle PR, you know. And as Ashley Michelle alluded to, we all know, especially post COVID. But really, you know, I feel like just in my decade here, like it has become so much more than those tactical things that Ashley Michelle mentioned. And so they realized they really did need someone to be more than just the spokesperson or more than just the Facebook or Twitter person,
exactly.
But really to be thinking strategically and handling communication from that standpoint for a district.
I remember sitting in my first cabinet meeting wondering, why are all these people listening to me? I was at the time like a 23-year-old journalism. I came out of the newspaper industry. And I remember thinking, I don't know why they're asking my advice. And so let's talk for a minute about the individual. I think we all could say you don't know what you don't know until you get in there and you start to see. And really, INSPRA and the state chapters help us kind of define our roles. But what's some early advice for someone just getting started in this business? What are some of the things out of your session at INSPRA or that you've thought since then that you would like to give advice to someone just starting out?
Ashley, Michelle, you want to take that first and I'll hop behind?
I am happy to. So I think for me especially is, you know, so often, especially when you're first starting out, everything is so reactive. And so to start thinking through things ahead of time, like, you know, you're going to have a crisis eventually. You're going to have a bus accident. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have a child bring a weapon to school. You're going to have things. You're going to have, you know, somebody sleep with somebody they shouldn't sleep with. You're going to have something eventually happen. And so I'm a big proponent of how can we be proactive on those things ahead of time. So I'm a big fan of putting everything in a Google folder. I have a massive Google file that has, you know, about 100 different individual folders within it with drafted scripts. And it's something that I've thought of. It's like doomsday prepping, but, you know, just going ahead and literally pre-drafting scripts for anything I could possibly think of, or doing that environmental scanning and figuring out what could have happened in a neighboring school district, or, you know, literally just anywhere across the country, because, you know, chances are, there's not a lot that's going to happen to you in your role that hasn't happened to someone else. I've been at it for 10 years. The only thing that I've only been the first at, and it's happened since then, was we had a massive bat infestation at one of my high schools, and we had 200 bats that decided that they were going to make a nest in the high school. And it was funny because I'd been at the role for about 5 years at that point, and I Googled bat infestation at high school and nothing came up. So I was the very first one. But besides that, every time I've had a crisis, there's been somebody that's gone before me. And then again, just going to have that really robust crisis communications plan has been huge. And just, you know, thinking about it beforehand. And so when you have those slower months, like during the summertime or right after Christmas break, before you gear up for your open enrollment and your end of year craziness, just, you know, when you have those moments, how can you prepare for something ahead of time, I think has been the biggest piece of advice I have.
Yeah. So, bouncing off of that, we talked a lot about in our session, just that in the transition from when we all felt like we were moving from those early career days to more settled in into what we called, the mid-career professional in school PR, was when we had those systems in place, like Ashley Michelle mentioned. And then the other thing that we talked a lot about, and we mentioned that we are both on cabinet, is just you really get to a place, or you have to push yourself or challenge yourself to get to a place where you're that voice in the room that sometimes nobody wants to hear, but you have to be that voice in the room. So really challenge, when you're sitting with cabinet and with upper level leadership or with your superintendent, being the one that's not afraid to raise their hand and mention some of the issues that haven't been thought about, or, have we included these stakeholders or those kind of things, where it's not always the most popular part of the discussion, but it's the necessary part of the discussion. And so it includes a lot of those things as well. I mentioned, the book Crucial Conversations, which I know, Julie, you're more than familiar with in our session. And it's just being willing to be that voice in the room.
And I think it's also with that, too, it's funny because with all that COVID did, bring about, it's one of those things, especially with my leadership team at the time, there was so many, of course, like medical jargon. And, we use as an example of like, y'all, we do the exact same thing in education. We use so much educational jargon. So I think that was a great opportunity for our parents to, for us to shape how we talk with our parents. And so, when we're meeting and we're having these conversations, the leadership team, it's like, guys, remember how it was with COVID, how we had to create a new lens, I think, to understand, let's have that same mentality as we're communicating with our families. We don't have to use those 25-cent words when, a penny word is going to be just as good, and it's going to be more family friendly too. I think that was definitely one of the benefits of it, for sure.
Talk a little bit about the importance of building strong relationships early on when you're starting in a position. How important is that, whether you're a one-person office or you're trying to be a part of a communications department or team as well? How important are relationships?
Oh, gosh, they're everything. And this was one of the very first things, and I think Anissa hit on this early in our session at INSPRA. And I can remember back to the first few weeks of me taking over this job. Ashley Michelle said, you don't know what you don't know. But I did know that relationships were important. And so one of the very first things that I did was schedule meetings with all of our individual building principals, whether it was, here in my office or on their campus. I knew that it was important to just get to know them and get to know their school. Because if you don't have that, just that, that basis of a relationship, of knowing who that person is, how are you able to work with them and then assist them in communicating for their campus? And then also, of course, district level staff and folks here at my district office that I would be working with, making sure that I made time to sit down with those folks and know who they are and know where they're coming from, so they would trust me and that we could have that basis of a great relationship. So key, because I can't tell you how many times over the years, it's because of those great foundations of relationships that, in crisis times and even in really good times, those relationships, helped me be able to communicate for our campus or for our district better because I knew those folks in those roles.
And for me, literally ditto what Melissa said. One thing that I am really fortunate, so both my parents have been in education and my dad retired recently, and he was the assistant superintendent of business operations. So from the time I was little, he really stressed to me the importance of, like, yes, of course, teachers are incredibly important, but school doesn't run if you don't have bus drivers, if you don't have maintenance staff, if you don't have school nutrition. So we need to make sure that we're also hearing from them. And so with me, whenever I started a new role, of course you meet with the principal, the assistant principal, who's on the building leadership, but I always make a priority to go and meet with the school nutrition staff and our bus drivers and our school custodians, because they hear a lot and they are really trusted. They're trusted influencers in our community. And so they'll tell me, like, for us, our high school cafeteria manager, Miss Rakita Carr, she'll tell me stuff all the time, like, hey, have you thought about this? Or when you're you know, speaking with a mom, make sure that you mention XYZ. Or when you're going to put up billboards for open enrollment, you need to make sure that one goes over here. And I was like, well, I didn't even think about that. Thanks, Miss Rakita. That's amazing. So having that network, and then also we're really fortunate in our district to have a bang up superintendent who's a big believer in advisory councils. So for us, we have a student advisory council at both the elementary level as well as the middle and secondary level. And then we have a teacher advisory council, a support staff advisory council, as well as a parent advisory council. Again, just to hear from those leaders, you know, not only just those your top leaders at the school, but the people that are leaders in their building as well, like their student leaders and who their peers have designated them as leaders, because they've been great with, you know, not only working through our issues, but then being great allies and just being those spokespeople back to the schools directly. That's been a huge way for us to build relationships as well.
You're right. Every campus and every district has its different influencers. Sometimes I should point out, sometimes those influences are positive and sometimes they're negative. And
yes,
when it comes
absolutely.
To the district brand, but they are people that others go to, and right. just aligning right. and connecting with them becomes so important, and they become like a pipeline for information mm-hmm. and feedback. I remember there's nothing more powerful to go into your superintendent or your supervisor and be able to say, this is what the employees are saying, this is what we're hearing, and really having a pipeline for information. And that's really important in a one-person shop too.
Right.
Because you're kind of trying to be all things to all people. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's just talk to our folks that are just getting started, but they're a one person shop. I remember I started out my first 7 years, it was just me, and I learned more on the job, hands-on type things that helped me later be, I think, a better manager of my department and my teams once I did grow my program in different districts, but I learned to do everything. And so talk a little bit about what kinds of things can our new young professionals in their positions get a good bang for their buck on? What are the things they ought to pay attention to?
Well, I think some of the first things that we talked about in our session were, you know, establishing those processes that we mentioned earlier, you know, setting up those systems, whether it's with your social media or your website, you know, establishing those relationships that we just spoke of. But then and actually Michelle mentioned this earlier, you know, I have a similar story in that my predecessor at some point in the first few weeks said, you need to get hooked up with INSPRA, to which I said, what the heck is INSPRA? You know, I didn't know either. I had no clue what a fantastic organization was right at my back door or in my backyard, if you will. So that's, you know, if you haven't gotten plugged in with your, certainly with the national organization, but, you know, more importantly, closer to you, your state SPRA, that has really, over the years, immediately I felt the impact of that, because it was just like, oh, okay, these are my people, you know, oh, I have some support. I knew that I'm a county of 7 different school districts. So I knew that I had 6 colleagues in the districts close to me in Spartanburg County, but really beyond that, I didn't know the wealth of information and experience that was out there for me in my state. And so that was so critical. And then, you know, joining INSPRA, the national organization as well.
Yeah, I think exactly, pretty much exactly what Melissa said. And I think the other thing to just immediately go ahead and get plugged in with is, you know, we're really fortunate we have the School Communications Pros Facebook page, which has been instrumental in me just, again, hearing from colleagues across the country, because you, of course, have your state SPRA and, you know, then you have INSPRA, but that's just another great resource just to go ahead and gather some additional information. And then we have, of course, K-12 PR chat, and then like our mentor-mentee match. That was instrumental for me, especially when I was going through the APR process.
Really, it's just all such great resources to know that you're right. not in this alone, that there are colleagues out there that I've never, you know, coming from the news business where, you know, it's about competition. It's about who can get the story first or who's on the scene first and has this nugget of information that nobody else has. School PR is not like that. I remember kind of being kind of dumbfounded when I first got into the business, because I was like, wait, these people want to share? They want to, you know, give their resources and their time time and share whatever they've done before. And it really is. You have so many people that are in your corner, if you will. And we're very lucky that this.
And I think also having that network, it just makes it, I don't know, especially when you're going into a leadership meeting, and especially, you know, if you're a person that doesn't have those letters behind their name, or you're just starting out in the position, being able to say, well, like, yes, here's what I've been able to gather from our stakeholders here locally, but then here's some ideas that I've gotten from school communications pros around the country. And it just gives you some more validity. And it just, you know, I think it elevates what the position is and what our profession can do and can be.
Absolutely.
It is. Strength in numbers is so true. And I think once you get plugged into your chapter, plugged into some people that you can trust, we have to often go in to this position and into cabinet meetings with such confidence in our forward-facing approach to problem solving and giving advice. But I don't know about you guys. There were a lot of days that I went back and closed the door and went, oh my goodness, I need to call somebody. And I could really use some help thinking through this problem and making sure I'm giving the right advice, because the advice, if we're advising on our cabinet level, especially with the social media, the addition of social media and just the immediacy of messaging and the response that people give, people hang on our very words and the words that we give our supervisors. It's important for us to be giving good advice and to make sure that we don't lead them astray. So I think those resources are very good to point out. Let's talk a little bit more as you move into that mid-level time in your career and you've been in your position for a little while. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges of being heard and moving from tactical type things with the newsletter person, the video guy, those types of descriptors people may have from us into a more strategic role. Talk a little bit about how that evolution happens in the job.
So I think for me, the way that that happened, and it kind of happened organically, was I got my APR, and it was, you know, I was going through the process. And so in my district that I was in beforehand, so I was there for 5 years, and during my 5-year time period, we had 8 superintendents. So my APR process occurred under several of the different superintendents, and I had to advocate for, you know, explaining what the APR process was and explaining, you know, what the benefits of it would be. It was going to be moving from, you know, I'm going to be doing strictly, you know, taking pictures and being the video person to, like, I'm going to bring you a communications plan. And honestly, that was what it was. Like, through the APR process, actually, I was using what I was learning through studying to create our superintendent search process. And that was the first communications plan I brought. And it was funny because I was bringing it to my interim superintendent and to my board chair and saying, this is what we can do. This is how we can, you know, affect change. This is how we can actually hear from not just our teachers about what they want, which is really important, but let's hear from our greater school community. We've had the superintendent turnover. And so people, if we're going to have a great leader, they're going to want to make sure that their voices are heard. So that was the first time I ever brought a communications plan to a supervisor. And they were like, oh, wow, we need to be putting our money behind this. Basically, this is why we have a communications director, not just to take pictures and, you know, go to events, but so we can actually have real strategic change for our school district. You know, just again, moving from that tactician to, like, how are we being a problem solving facilitator? How are we really showcasing our district and what it can and will be.
Yeah. And then for me, I agree with Ashley Michelle that it was a little bit more organically. I don't remember when we were planning for this session, we all kind of mentioned how, you know, none of us remember a day or a time where it was like suddenly this light switch was turned on and it was like, oh, I'm a mid-career professional now, or I've moved from the early days into this more established, feel like I know what I'm doing role. Because I'll be honest, you know, there's days that all of us feel like, do I really know what I'm doing? For me, it was during COVID. And I do remember that it was just a series of interactions or meetings where there was just more than one person in district level leadership that was always saying, is Melissa in the room? You know, we need to make sure that Melissa's in here for this conversation. And so that was really a light bulb moment for me where I was like, oh, okay, they, you know, they trust me. They like me. They, you know, they believe that I should be in the room and that communication is a pivotal piece of everything that we're doing. So that was the, you know, again, not one specific moment, but kind of a culmination or a combination of moments where our district leadership really realized that that having the chief communication person in the room at all times was important. And then, you know, for some of the things, I'm not an APR yet. I'm moving towards that. But some of the things that I think in my work that I think moved me from the early days of where you feel like you're that hamster spinning on the wheel. Erica Chandler from Missouri, I remember she has this great gift that she shares in a presentation that she does where it's just that hamster just continually spinning. And you kind of feel like that in those early years where, you know, you're just, as Ashley Michelle mentioned earlier, just doing all that tactical stuff, feeling like, are you ever going to get your head above water? So some of the things that, you know, I started realizing that were always coming up and in school level communication issues with people I dealt with from our webmasters or our social media point people is what I call them. You know, one of the things that I implemented was, you know, within my school communicator network, I realized that we were, again, always experiencing the same problem. So it was like that hamster on the wheel. So one of the things that I implemented was a stipend program that really we had never had set expectations, if you will, for those folks at the school level. And one way that we knew that we could do that is A, give them a stipend, but have the expectations that came with it. So that has greatly helped me over the last 2 years put a little bit more meat behind those positions. And then again, stop some of the problems that I was experiencing at the school level with some inconsistency from those positions and a lack of communication from some. So that's one thing that I did, and it's helped greatly.
Okay, so in your answers, you both came up with a couple little nuggets, so I can't just let them sit. So I have to dive into them a little bit more. So let's talk a minute. So the four-step process that Ashley Michelle mentioned in APR, and I'm excited to hear, Melissa, that you're on that journey because I can't recommend it enough. And you aren't alone, and there are opportunities for resources and everything. But that was kind of the aha moment for me because, like you, I was a journalist. So when I think back to the four-step process now that Ashley Michelle mentioned, you've got research, you've got planning, you've got implementation, and you have evaluation. Well, research was natural for me as a journalist. I don't know about you, but that just was what I did. I asked a lot of questions. I did a lot of research. And I was glad to know that that was a good place to start because that's how I broke down problem solving. But the planning part of it was not something as a reporter I was used to, targeting messaging and really looking about who needs to know what, because most of the time as a journalist, you're writing an article and it's just for everybody and anybody to read, right? So it's just kind of one and done. So that was kind of new for me. And I think that's an important piece to who needs to know what. And as we go into our cabinet meetings and we start to problem solve and we share the research that we have planning out, and I actually just finished with one of our client districts that very act. Okay, what you need to tell the neighbors around that school is not the same thing that you need to tell the staff, which is not the same thing that you need to tell the parents. And it's about targeting that messaging. But we're all pretty good at implementing. We got lots of tools to do that. Now, social media websites, we almost have too many tools, one could argue.
We know how to use Canva. We got it.
Yeah. Talk about how important the evaluation piece is when you're coming in that mid-level part of your career and you start to get this aha moment. I should be assessing whether or not what we're doing and saying is working. So talk a little bit about that evaluation piece.
It's so often the piece that we skip, right? Or that we just kind of gloss over because we're on to the next thing. But it's so important because it, like you said, it tells us whether what we did worked and how it worked and if we should continue more of that or change some of it. So I think I agree it's so important. Ashley?
Well,
And I think, too, it's one of those things, again, it goes back to especially the evaluation piece of the RPI process. It goes back to, like, why you have a communications director. It's about advocating for our profession. I think about especially when I was early in my career and I'd be doing my professional development plan with my superintendent, you know, at the end of the year, they would say, like, oh, well, what did you do? And I would say, you know, oh, I went to, you know, 130 events and I posted 5,000 pictures and I did 200 videos. And they would say, okay, well, that's great. But now when I'm able to go to my superintendent and say, like, we had a communications campaign centered around enrollment, and we were able to increase enrollment by 10% during our open enrollment window, which equates to, you know, 53 students, which equates to $500,000. It's like, oh, that's why we have a communications director. You know, it again, it's just like, yes, a part of my campaign, sure, I had graphics, sure, I had videos, sure, I had photos, but it's just that you can go to a superintendent and really put into dollars what your work has been able to accomplish. Or one of my campaigns that I was able to do was we renamed an elementary school from, you know, it had been named after a slaveholder, and we were able to rename it by from one of our one of our first African-American teachers and our first African-American principal that we had in that school district. And, you know, the evaluation piece came when you had students and you had community members and you had parents that were telling us what we did was, like, it worked. And when you had elementary students that said, like, I'm now proud of the name of my elementary school, and they were telling that to board members, it's like, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Like, what, you know, yes, we have campaigns, but are they really making change? Is it really what's best for our students and what's best for our community? And it goes back to that evaluation piece. You know, you don't want to just say, like, okay, I did so many graphics, but, like, how is actually doing what's best for our kids and for our students?
And Ash and Michelle won't toot her own horn, so I will. That's actually a gold medallion winning campaign that she's mentioning, that she won and received her gold medallion in Chicago. So an excellent campaign and just done so well across the board.
Absolutely. And that leads to a couple of things. So one being that go look at, research what some of those award-winning campaigns are. Go to sessions for areas. I think it's really important, as even as a rookie just getting started or a mid-level person, we're not good at everything. We try to be. We come across that way, right? We can do everything, all things to all people at all times. But find the things where you have some weaknesses or some things in your program that you don't, that you believe could be strengthened, and go to sessions or reach out and connect with professionals that have had campaigns like that, whether it's student enrollment campaigns, marketing for employees, different things like that. You know, closing a school, opening a new school. There's all those things that happen in the course of our career. If you've never done it, somebody has. And kind of learning from them and connecting is really, really important.
What's up, friends? Since we have a guest host today, I figured it should be my turn to bring you CISO's top tip for this episode. As you know, my name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications, and today's tip is for my video editors out there. Recently at the annual TSPR conference, I had the opportunity to sit down and chat with some new digital media professionals from my state, and the one thing that kept coming up was how nervous folks get when they go on camera for interviews. Here are my three tips to ease the nerves and get the best out of every interview. Number one, don't let the first time they meet you be while you're setting your camera up. I always try to visit my interview subjects before I film them, and if I can't do that in person, I email them or call them. It's all about building trust early. Number two, we are all on a deadline all the time, but working quickly during the interview will keep the subject feeling a bit rushed or pressured. Relax and carry on some small talk conversation about their classroom or something you saw on campus. Make this less of an interview and more of a conversation. And number three, this is my favorite. If I can tell the person is super nervous when we first talk, I always promise them that if it's the worst thing ever, I'll buy them a soda of their choice from their favorite store and deliver it straight to their classroom. Now, no one has ever taken me up on it, but there have been a few times where I knew it was such a big deal for this person to be on camera that I just went ahead and did it myself to say thanks. If you can build some rapport with your subject, they will feel more comfortable having a conversation with you. Start well before the interview and earn that trust. At CISO, we partner with districts to strategically approach storytelling through all mediums. If your district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. Visit thecso.com and connect with us. You can also follow us on social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
Let's talk for a minute about the importance of realizing that not everyone in their jobs has a seat at the table. And I think this is important, and it's not, we think a lot of times that you might not start out that way, but we have mid-level, we have people that have been in this career, in this profession a long time, and they still are not getting the respect from their leadership teams or their districts. Let's talk about a couple of things, a couple of pieces of advice on just encouraging them to keep on keeping on. And what advice would each of you give someone who's not at the cabinet level, who's not, whose position is not being used in that way?
This is a tough question because all three of us, that presented this session, we readily admitted to our crowd that we were all at the leadership table. We did talk about, each of us knew of folks with, whether it's within our SPRA or just local regional colleagues that did not have that luxury. And so it is so critically important because if you're not in the room, then there's so many conversations that you're not a part of, information that you may not be privy to. It makes it so much more difficult. And so I realize having that seat at the table that it's easy for me to say you have to keep pushing or you have to, continue to broach that subject with your superintendent. I realize that all those situations are different depending on the school district that you're in, but I would just encourage those folks to continue to have those conversations and to be brave and to approach it with their superintendent or their boss, because it is so critically important that they are in the room and, like you said, at the table.
So I think for me, it's, and again, I keep on saying it, but it's just like about advocating for the importance of our profession. And again, like Melissa said, I am incredibly fortunate that I have a bang up superintendent that, we have 2,400 students and we have two communications directors just because he values communications that much. And we're really fortunate in the state of Georgia because he is such a well-loved and respected superintendent. But like literally just a few weeks ago, we were having a meeting with superintendents from across the state, and we had a superintendent that came up to him and said, Dr. Williams, it was funny. He said, I need to get me one of them, their social media girls. And my superintendent said, well, that sounds great, but why don't you talk to Ashley Michelle about what a communications director can actually do? And I'd be happy for her to explain what a school PR professional can do for you. Because yes, they do social media. She does, post something, but that's not her entire role. So I think especially if you're one of those folks that you're not at the leadership table, if you have a friend that has a well-respected superintendent, superintendents hear a lot better from their peers. So maybe having that superintendent just call that superintendent and saying like, hey, so I've noticed, I've gone to G-Spread. I've noticed that your PR director keeps on winning awards, or I hear they're doing great work. I get to present at the national conference, but they're not at your leadership table. Can you tell me why? And again, that's just, our superintendent's a great advocate for school communications. And that's just what he keeps on saying. Like he asked us if we would put together a proposal to go and actually speak at the at Georgia's School Board Association conference to again advocate for the importance of communications for all school districts, and not just the mega Atlanta school districts, but even the rural school districts. He says it's so important because, and I appreciate this, he always says, if you're not telling your story, someone else is. And I'm like, that's right, Dr. Williams. That's why we have communications directors. So just, seeing what other resources you have that it also might be really beneficial too.
And it's about being your own cheerleader, right? I mean, we're so used to, being in the background, not necessarily us being in the spotlight because we're putting the spotlight on others. But I can remember those early days of my career as well, like people saying to me kind of what Ashley Michelle just said, like, oh, it's the social media girl, or oh, it's the picture girl. And I think taking a chance to take those opportunities and educate people on what you really do and how much your job is so much beyond that is, don't be afraid to toot your own horn and make sure that everyone, not just those in leadership, are educated about what you really do, that it's so much more than just social media or the photographer for the district.
Right.
I think of the author Stephen Covey talking about beginning with the end in mind. And I think it's little things every day that you do to create the future you want for yourself in that district and in that position. And one of my pieces of advice I always tell people is that don't wait to be asked to do something. So, you know, ask or volunteer to be on committees in your district, ask to sit in, even if it's just to listen, as I would say in the peanut gallery, just to sit in the back and quietly learn during curriculum meetings, during budget meetings and those types of things. And then I would write plans. I had all these thoughts in my head and I would write these plans. And I think Ashley Michelle talked about this. It really transforms your value to the team when you can hand them a communications plan. They didn't all get used, but I would walk in and say, listen, I sat in on that meeting and I had some ideas and I thought you might want to look this over. And I can remember my bosses looking at me like, I didn't ask for this. Okay. Eventually, I've never met a superintendent that if you didn't start handing them talking points and sharing with them some well thought out plans, they won't eventually start using them. Yeah. I do realize that it's about their credibility and their character, whether they pull you in and give you credit, because sometimes other people will take credit for that work. But you're going to really benefit, especially mid-level in your career, even if you're not invited to the table, to ask to be at the table, to be in the room where it's happening, so to speak, and to write plans. And if anything, it's going to give you that kind of practice. And over again, you're going to show them that you have the good of the organization and that it's not necessarily about having your name on the plan, but it's about the district having the access to your knowledge and your resources. And so don't wait to be asked. I kind of describe it as inching your chair to the table yourself. And pretty soon they all turn around and you're closer and they start saying things like, we need to have a meeting. We need Melissa here. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what you started seeing in your mid-level career. So I would
I think too. So one of the best things that my superintendent said, when I got to Dublin, actually, we were in a meeting and I said, guys, well, you know, I'm not a curriculum expert. He goes, I know, we didn't hire you to be the curriculum expert. We hired you to tell us things that we don't think about. Like, you're supposed to kind of catch our blind spots because we are so focused on, okay, this is the curriculum we're going to use. And it's like, okay, but have we thought about how this is going to come across to parents? Mm-hmm. And I'm that person who's going to, I always say, I'm not going to say, I'm not always going to say what you want to hear, but I'm going to say what you need to hear. Yeah. So, you know, you may not want it, but you need it. You know, how is this actually going to come across to parents? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, and I appreciated that, you know, I think because I was downplaying myself, you know, well, I'm not the curriculum expert. No, you're not. We don't need you to be. I need you to be the communications expert. And I need you to advocate for our kiddos and for our parents and for our community. So definitely that's great.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a minute about entering into the veteran stage. I can remember times.
I refuse to call myself a veteran yet.
I thought I would never be a veteran. And now I feel like more of a veteran only because of all those years, not necessarily anything else. Because I'm always learning, right? We can always learn and we're always having opportunities like that. But as you move into the second decade of y'all's careers, what advice would you give someone that is starting to enter that veteran stage? And let's talk a little bit about opportunities for mentoring and just giving back, not only to our association, but to this profession.
Ashley, you want to go first?
Yeah. So the first thing that immediately popped into my brain was that last week, INSPRA sent out an email to all of its members talking about how you can be part of different committees. And for me, that's been huge. I'm really fortunate. I get to serve on the APR committee. And so we get connected with, of course, folks who are going through the APR process. But even if you're not going through the APR process, just, you know, you're interested in writing what a communications plan looks like, I think is so huge. So, you know, giving back to our state chapters or giving back to INSPRA, you know, that has done so much for us. I mean, I would not be an APR without Cindy Warner. Like, she's in Alabama. She's a giant mentor for me and just so many different folks. So I think just having the opportunity to kind of, like you said, give back to so many people that have done so much for us for that next generation. I think it's exciting, you know, getting plugged in with INSPRA and then your SPRA too. But then also something just that, like, at the local level, even I was talking to my superintendent because we were in our cabinet meeting. And my HR director was talking about how they were having their regional HR meeting just, like with different folks within our local community that are also HR directors. And I asked my superintendent, I said, well, do we have anything like that for like for public relations directors? You know, I think it'd be a great asset for not only HR directors, I'm glad they all know each other, but I want to get plugged in with our other PR professionals, like at the city and at the county and at the hospital. And he said, well, I've never heard anything like that. So that's something we're going to be starting here in Dublin, just, you know, meeting quarterly and just, but so you're not only connecting with folks to do school public relations, but again, at the local level, how can we meet with public relations professionals just to enhance just the public relations profession as well. So it's kind of like a mini version of like a PRSA, but because we don't have one of those in small town Georgia, but we're excited to get to enhance public relations as a whole too.
Yeah, and I would just piggyback off of what Ashley Michelle said, that in terms of, you know, INSPRA has given so much to us, both for me at the state level and then at the national level. So as I've, you know, now in year 10, it's just so important to me to give back to those organizations that really were a lifeline and continue to be for me in this profession. So I'm fortunate enough to serve on a committee for INSPRA. I'm currently the chair of the Executive Board Search Committee, which is such a fun and really eye-opening role to be in, to see how our great organization works and to be part of reaching out to those potential leaders for our organization. And then I still have the honor of also now serving as the past president in that chair for South Carolina INSPRA here in our own state. And I just think it's so important to be in those roles, because we're now in South Carolina experiencing a lot of newcomers coming into these roles across our state. And so really remembering where I was 10 years ago and trying to be that same person now for some of these new folks, making them feel welcome, making them feel like they're not alone, you know, letting them know that they have people across the state that have resources that we're willing to share and willing to be a, you know, whether it's a shoulder to cry on or just a listening ear to, you know, bounce ideas off of and to get resources from. So that's been critical for me. But I mean, as you mentioned, Julie, I think it's so important. I've always been a big believer, whether it was, you know, in my news career or in this one. I believe like the day that we stop learning is might as well be the day that we just hang it up and, you know, you know, retire or quit. That's one of the things that I love so much about school PR is I really do think, you know, just in my 10 years in the profession, there's just been such an evolution of just where this career is going and so many new tools and things that we can use. And so, I mean, I remember just last week, I know you just came out of TSPRA. I was following on Twitter, like all the sessions that were being presented. I felt like such a stalker, but I was, because I definitely had FOMO of not being at TSPRA because some of these great sessions and things that were being shared. And so I can't remember her name now, but Brianna was her first name, and she did a great session on Instagram Reels. And I will be the first to admit, I'm not like the pro or expert at Instagram Reels, right? It's something that I still have to learn about. But I reached out to Brianna via Twitter, and we're going to hook up, and she's going to school me on Instagram Reels. So I just think that we're always learning. There's something that we can always add to our belt or our toolbox, if you will, and that we can all grow in different areas. So that's one of the great things about school PR.
Definitely.
Well, I think that's great. And you guys brought up a couple of really great things, because if you're kind of, you know, getting into this job after of a decade or two decades, or for those of you like me, three decades and still hanging in there and doing it, there's always something new to learn, new tools, new ideas. I love being proactive and reaching out to individuals that, you know, are kind of like all stars in that area. Even attending, if you can, and your budget and time allows, attending other chapter conferences. And
absolutely,
one of the greatest highlights of serving as president of INSPRA was getting to travel around to a lot of the chapters. And I still didn't get to all the places that I would have loved to go. But serving on a committee, you guys mentioned, here's another, just presenting.
Yeah.
You have something to offer. And let's just say you're a little nervous and you're not sure that presenting is what you want to do, then co-present. You guys had three presenters. You bring those different perspectives. I love it when small districts and large districts are one person offices and seven people offices get together and present together, because you never know who's going to be in your audience, and something that you say or something that those different perspectives brought forward in a presentation can resonate with someone, and not being afraid to reach out and connect. I think those are all very key things. I do want to mention something, because I think it stands to reason that we don't think that just veterans can mentor or just veterans can present. I think this is really key. And Melissa shared it earlier about the difference, I think, in school PR is the sharing of ideas. But Tim Hensley, a past president out of Georgia of Inspiro, at one of the many conferences I've gone to, I wouldn't even pretend to know what year it was he said this, but from the podium, he was, I believe, accepting an award, and he said that we need to do more reverse mentoring. So reverse mentoring is about, you know, even our younger, newer members matching up and mentoring with some of our veterans to teach us. You can teach an old dog new tricks in this business. So you guys talk a little bit about the important role of reverse mentoring as our veterans and our mid-level and our new rookies to the business kind of all learn from each other.
Oh my gosh, it's so important. I mean, I just gave one example with Brianna out of Texas that's going to teach me about Instagram Reels. But I think it's just about being humble and realizing that we're not all experts in one or in many things, but that we have something to offer and you know, to be that person that steps out and says, I am so not an expert at this. Will you teach me? That's, you know, one of the things in our Statesboro that we're really trying to do is in involving those younger, newer members is recognizing what they're doing well in their districts and saying, hey, would you mind, you know, would you do a mini session or a session at our next state conference or our next state meeting where you share some of what you're doing? You know, a lot of people don't think that they have anything to bring to the table until they're tapped on the shoulder. And so I think it's so key because as you mentioned, Julie, we all learn from each other and we're stronger because of that, I think, as an organization.
Definitely. It was funny. I remember when I was going through the APR process and I presented my, like a portion of my panel presentation during one of our sessions. And someone said, wow, in school communications, y'all have to wear a lot of hats. And my, you know, because they were working for like a Fortune 500 company, they were saying, we have somebody that just does graphics. We have somebody that just does video, that just does this, that just does that. And in school PR, you have to do everything. And I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of how we operate. Yep, there's one or a lot of districts have one. You get really lucky if you have two, but yeah, that's exactly right, exactly how it is. So like Melissa was saying, you know, just learning from one another, I think is so huge, and realizing that you're not the expert in everything. I am a big fan of looking to see who Inspiro 35 under 35 are and kind of seeing what I love to read always their bios to figure out what they're really great at, and then kind of reaching out to see how, not steal, but admire and acquire and bring their information back to my own school district, I think has been huge. And then also just, you know, going to those gold mines at Inspiro, because especially, you know, for me, I started presenting at Inspiro through a gold mine session because I said, well, I'm not a Rick Kaufman, I'm not a Julie Phantom, but I can present about something for 20 minutes. And so, I've gotten so many great resources, I think, from those gold mines. But with Inspiro, or really just any session, any kind of big conference you go to, just I think with that, though, there you come back and you're on such a high. There's so many things that you've learned. And so giving yourself grace to realize that you can't implement everything, you know, picking like one or two nuggets from the conference, the entire conference, and saying, can we implement this really well versus, you know, trying to just like throw spaghetti noodles in the wall and hope something sticks. But what can be implemented well, and especially like how can we look at our stakeholder group? How is this actually mean what's best for our school district, or is it just something that's like bright and shiny that we want to just slap our logo onto? I think is important.
And then I just real quick want to mention, like, shout out first of all to like School PR Happy Hour. The yes. whole reason all three of us are here. I have been known to on more than one occasion, you know, listen to one of these podcasts and say, ooh, something they said really resonated with me. I'm going to reach out to that person that was the guest that week. So that's been great. And then also, I don't think that we've mentioned this, and I don't know how we haven't, but K-12 PR Chat is yes. such a great resource and another way that I've found people across the country that are doing something or doing some work that is really admirable, and reached out to them just because of something they tweeted on our K-12 PR chats that we have throughout the year.
Yeah, or even just not even outside K-12 PR chat, like when people use the hashtag school PR, I am that person who stocks hashtag school PR, and I check it at least a few times a week. And to see, again, like what can I admire and acquire, or like what are you really great at? How can I use that knowledge when I'm having a future campaign? So I have a whole Google folder of different ideas that I've gotten from hashtag school PR or hashtag K-12 PR chat for sure.
Awesome.
When I was moving out of my offices to come work for CISO Communications and start a whole new role in my profession, I found a photo of myself sitting in front of a typewriter with letterhead. And I remember that on my first day of work, that's what I was given, a typewriter and a piece of letterhead. And I think we all have that whatever it is, whatever tool it is, we have that blank slate, that opportunity to create the story that we want for ourselves and to begin to write every new chapter, right, in the story of our careers. And I'm so grateful that you guys mentioned the K-12 PR chat. I'm very grateful for the podcast. Justin is also often very gracious. He's not only worked with me once, he's worked with me twice. So I blame at least the second time on him. But he's always very gracious on how much he's learned in being a part of my team when we work together. And he's no longer working for me. He works with me. So I wanted to point that out. His daughter said, "Are you still his boss?" And I said, "No, but I can boss him around." I try not to do that. But this is an example of the credit. You know, I've never thought I would add podcast hosts to the things that I learned. The first time I joined the K-12 PR chat, it went so fast, I couldn't even keep up. The hour was over. I don't think I had tweeted but a couple of times. And I just pledged myself at this point in my career to never stop learning, to always be humble enough to know that there's more to learn, new things, new ways that we can reach people. And I just appreciate that so much about Inspire. I appreciate that about each of you. I know Justin would want me to give you the opportunity, a couple of things, to get the last word in. If you have one more piece of advice at any level in their career, think on that a moment. And then also each of us, tell us, how's the best way to get a hold of you? How do we follow you and how do we find you?
Sure. Well, I'll just say, you know, no matter where you are in your career, and I know that there are going to be people listening that are in all stages. So whether you're still in the beginning or in the middle or you've moved into that veteran stage, kind of as you said, Julie, there's always something to learn, and don't ever allow yourself to get in a rut, if you will. You know, I think that you can fall into that place, certainly as a mid-career person, but there's always this is such a great career, and it's a place that there's always something changing and something new to learn. So don't let yourself get there, because it's a great career to stay in. And then I'm on Twitter at TV Melissa is my handle, and I can always be reached by email that I'm sure you'll share in the show notes as well.
So for me, I think the best piece of advice and that I just kind of keep living by is know your why. I have on my desk from my very first year of school PR, there was this little munchkin, and I have his picture up, and I have it right next to my little boy, actually. And it's funny because now he's a senior in high school, and I have his picture up from when he was in elementary school. But it's just like, that's my why I do what I do. And I have that, and then it's kind of morbid, but I also have, we did an active shooter training, and one of the police officers gave me one of the blanks, and I have that over there too. And someone asked me about it today, like, why do you have a blank? And I said, well, because it's a reminder of what crisis communications is and why we need to be proactive with our crisis, like our continued efforts to be with our crisis communications. Like, yes, it's, we hope we never have a Uvalde, but I want to make sure that we're prepared if we do. We want to make sure that we have our, you know, our crisis flow chart, and we have everything in our Google Drive. So those are my two things: know your why. And then I also, just for those hard days, just, I like to, the beginning of the school year, usually on the very first day, I write a letter to myself, because I know I'm going to need it at some point, explaining, you know, like how excited you are about this and why your kids are so awesome and how much you love school communications. And so when you have those hard days, I'll open my letter and just like, yeah, that's why I do what I do. And then I usually send myself another letter over winter break when I'm home with my family and like loving life and just everything is wonderful. And I just have it again for the second half of the semester, especially like that last, those last few weeks when it's graduation season and, you know, you're burned out and you've just been, your diet has consisted of just like 12 cups of coffee and like Cadbury eggs. It's like, you love this. You're really tired right now, but this is actually amazing. So just remembering that why I think is so important and just giving yourself those little reminders that are both tangible that you can look at in a daily basis. And then for me, like Melissa said, I'm on Twitter. The handle is at @amthublin, and I'm always willing to chat with people and talk about all things school communications because I love it so much.
Well, thank you all so much. I got to admit, I was a little bit fangirling getting to visit with both of you.
Oh.
I've watched your careers in INSPRA, seen some of your great work that you're doing for your districts, and just really glad that you joined us for School PR Happy Hour. I couldn't be thrilled that it's my first chance to podcast host. And thank you for sharing all the advice. I think there's going to be a lot of great things for people, no matter where they're at in their career. Can take from this, and will we see you both in St. Louis?
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Yes, I have already booked my hotel.
Me
I'm very
too.
Excited. Got in the block. So yes, I am very excited and can't wait for INSPRA 2023. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. And I think they have a call for presentations now, so people can stop listening to the podcast and jump right out there and submit
Get on
a session.
It.
Yeah. Volunteer for a committee and connect with people at St. Louis. So I'll see you all then. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Julie.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I want to thank Melissa, Ashley Michelle, and of course, Julie Thanum for guest hosting this episode. This conversation was filled with so much information that anyone at any point in their career can use to make an impact in their district. As you heard our guests talking about, we are all looking forward to seeing each other in St. Louis this year at INSPRA 2023. Presentations like the one that we're talked about today will be happening all week, and I hope to see you there. It's going to be a great conference of networking, growing, and learning together. And you better believe we'll be planning Season 5 of School PR Happy Hour while we're there. So until next time, as Aaron always says, let's go out there and try to be a little bit better at our jobs every day.